Jackie Beat is in trouble. After years of stomping around in heels doing her hilarious one-woman show, Jackie Beat's pelvis has more fractures in it than her corset.
These hips don't lie. Jackie Beat urgently requires double hip replacement surgery, and she needs your help.
Don't worry, Jackie. We have the technology. We can rebuild her into the world's first bionic drag queen. Stronger than she was before. Funnier, dirtier, crazier.
Today, Ms. Beat fills us in on her frightening medical problems, her relationships with Sherry Vine, Joan Rivers, Nadia Ginsberg, Selene Luna, and her friendship with Alexis Arquette, which was featured in the documentary Wigstock.
Plus, the origins of Jackie Beat's childhood photo that went viral in the book Born This Way.
RuPaul's Drag Race contestants Detox and Jay Jolie's funky porn star pasts.
And ex-gay conservative blogger Matt Moore gets caught with his hands in the cookie jar on Grindr, saying God will forgive him. Jackie Beat, the time has come for you to podcast for your hips. Don't fuck it up. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Hello?
That is the most pitiful hello.
No, that's supposed to be like, what? I wasn't expecting a call.
I'm sorry. I'm on so much morphine, I don't know where I am.
Oh, I wish.
Hi, Jackie. It's Fausto.
And Mark from Feast of Fun. How are you feeling
Hi.
Today?
Not the collection agency you owe hundreds of thousands of dollars to.
Oh. Thank goodness. I'm sick of those calls.
What happened to you? Your hips are crumbling?
Well, it's been a problem for quite some time, you know.
Well, we know you got problems, girl.
Yeah, hello. Hello. No, it's, you know, it's something that's been happening for many, many, many years. And it's a partially genetic problem, but it's also just, you know, being a fat bitch for 20 years, wearing, you know, women's shoes for 20 years. And, yeah, so away from Puerto Ricans, you know,
Didn't you already have, like, your knees done? Didn't you have a knee operation or something? I feel like I remember you saying something about that.
No. Okay. I may have mentioned that I needed, you know, the hip replacement, but it was many years ago, you know, the doctor took an x-ray and said it's bone on bone, which I joke is not, you know, the latest Shishi LaRue DVD. So it's bone on bone on the right and has been for many years, and almost as bad on the left. So it's just really to the point where I can barely walk. So I'm going to have it taken care of.
This is a pretty serious thing, though, right? I mean, if you don't get this taken care of properly, you could wind up in a wheelchair for the rest of your life.
Oh, totally. And just so everyone knows, you know, I will bejewel that fucking wheelchair, and I will never quit. So... Nice try, Head of Lettuce. Didn't work. No.
So what are you going to do with your new hips? Are you going to start, like, running to your gigs now, or?
Oh, just, you know, 6-inch hooker heels, high kicks. You know, I won't even have to sing anymore. I'll just move my lips. Why be funny if you've got great legs?
Wow. And pretty soon you'll be more machine than mascara.
Oh, brother.
The bionic bitch.
But so seriously, you've actually turned to one of those Kickstarter sites called giveforward.com.
Yeah, because Kickstarter only does, you know, like crappy little short movies.
You know, that's the thing that drives me crazy about Kickstarter. And if you don't raise all the money, you don't get to keep it.
I think that they changed that policy
changed
a little bit.
It.
But, like, I know on, like, Indiegogo, they'll fund, like, art projects, too. And if you don't raise all the money, you can get some of the money.
And I think, so right now your goal is $50,000. You've raised 37% of that, so not even half of it.
Yeah, but it's only been, okay, there's a helicopter flying over because I live in Highland Park. See, Highland Park in Chicago is fancy, but Highland Park out here in Los Angeles is taco trucks and gunshots. Anyway.
We were just up in Highland Park the other day.
Yeah. So you're trying to raise $50,000.
Yeah, it's, it's this website that essentially, you know, because there's not a drag queen union and I don't have insurance. And it sounds crazy to say this because for the longest time I have had, you know, I've had this completely hopeless feeling, you know, about this. It's like, how am I going to afford this? How am I going to do this? I've tried to get insurance.
Yeah.
Here comes the helicopter again. Wait, it is. It's head of lettuce.
She's dropping a bomb.
Trying to ruin this interview. No. Anyway, so my attitude has been, this is totally hopeless. How am I going to, you know, pay for this? I've tried to get insurance, and, you know, it's a pre-existing condition, and everybody's like, what about Obamacare? And it's like, everything I've tried hasn't worked, and that hasn't kicked in yet. So I've changed my attitude from hopeless and how the hell am I going to do this to, and this is going to sound, you know, outrageous, but in the grand scheme of things, to the universe, $50,000 is like a nickel.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a gallon of water seems like a lot when it's dumped over your head or you have to drink it or you're being waterboarded or whatever, but you throw it in the ocean and it's like not even a drop.
And you've been doing drag now for how many years? 25? Of 27 years?
Yeah.
And of all those people, I mean, certainly more than 50,000 people have seen you perform.
That's right. I'm not worth $1, you bastard people.
And when we saw you in Chicago
I'll give you $1.
You know, everybody, like a lot of your fans, know you from those cruises, and those cruises are expensive.
Yeah.
Get those rich doctors to give you some money.
Well, that's kind of the same problem that we're in. We're broke-ass bitches, and we do a ton of original LGBT programming. And without the audience support, we couldn't do the show. We couldn't do it if people didn't pay for it. But sometimes some people always are coming up to us with really harebrained ideas and going, you know what you should do is put your podcast on a server space in my office that can only run from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Some really crazy ideas in order to... They think that they're trying to be helpful, but in fact, they're just coming up with an excuse on not to pay.
Why don't you do this to raise money? Like, are you getting a lot of those kinds of things? Like, why don't you go to Mexico and get it, or fly to Thailand and get it cheap?
Yeah. And I did actually look into that, but it's, you know, it's very difficult to do that. And also, you know, it's kind of scary. And I don't want to have a double hip replacement and be stuck in, you know, Thailand or India to heal.
Well, I would be worried if you went to Thailand to get hip surgery and you came back a woman.
Well, they'll be like, that would be so bad.
Get three incisions down there.
One for each hip and one for your vajayjay.
Right. Maybe I'm lying and I'm calling the sex change hip surgery, because it does take place between the hips. I could just be like, oh, let's just call it hip surgery.
Are you coming out as trans on today's podcast?
That's a spoiler alert. We're going to wait for that. that was a real... I just plopped down into a chair. Anyway, let's keep this light. Let's not talk too much about the fact that people should go to my Facebook page my website, MissJackieBeat.com, and click on the link to give.
Well, here's the direct link, so if people don't want to, you know, because people are super fucking lazy, Jackie.
I've really noticed that.
giveforward.com/JackieBeatHipHipHooray.
Can I just say, the only thing that people are more than they are lazy is stupid, so they're not even going to know how to spell half of that.
So Jackie, like, as a
or
the
they
name,
can just go to this show and we'll provide
we'll
a direct link. And
okay.
Now we know your boy name, Ken Fuhrer.
That's right.
Der Fuhrer.
You must have grown up with lots of Hitler jokes as a kid, huh?
Oh, yeah, I grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona, and it's a lot of Jews, and people would make jokes all the time. And
the kids would run from you, I guess.
Yeah, but I work with Roseanne, and I work with Joan Rivers, and they're both Jews, and no problem so far.
I love that Margaret Cho gave you $1,000 and said, I love you. I think you should make that into a T-shirt and says, Margaret Cho gave me $1,000 and said, I love you.
Yeah.
Most of my Johns just leave the money on the bedside and walk out.
Right. Yeah, she's so amazing. I mean, honestly, all joking aside, I mean, I just mentioned, you know, Roseanne and Joan Rivers and Margaret Cho. It's like they're all so supportive and, you know, they're very maternal and I just love them all. I don't know what I'd do without them.
You've been working with Joan Rivers. You write for her for...
I write on Fashion Police. You know, I always say this. Joan Rivers obviously does not need any help being funny. You know, she just is so busy. And I mean, seriously, at 79, and everyone knows that, so I'm not telling any tales out of school. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm feeling tired, I just look at her and I'm like, you know, bitch, get over yourself. If Joan can do it, you can do it. She's always on a plane. She's always doing benefits. She's always doing something. And she's actually going to do the benefit I'm having in New York on March 3rd. She's going to be a part of it.
Amazing. Where's that going to be at?
Yeah. At the Cutting Room.
How appropriate.
Yes. Get your scalpels out.
Well, when you're working with Joan, it's like you sit at a table with a group of people and because oftentimes, you know, you can be funny on your own, but I think a lot of times the humor comes from the interchange with other people.
Yeah. I mean, we sit around and like I said, you know, she doesn't need help being funny, but she needs help organizing and streamlining. And, you know, she's a legend and she deserves, you know.
And all the surgery she's had must make you feel very comfortable or maybe not so comfortable with getting your own surgery.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. What surgery? The natural beauty of Joan Rivers and Jackie Beat. That's why we get along. We both appreciate natural beauty. You should see Joan. She just comes in her Birkenstocks and, you know.
You're writing all those jokes for Joan Rivers and you guys are like sitting around, Nadia Ginsberg also writes with you.
Yeah, actually she's taking a break now because she just did an Atlantis Gay Cruise. She's doing a play here in town. She's just traveling and doing all sorts of stuff.
And she's on a sitcom too, right?
Yeah, she got on Partners on NBC and she literally had like one episode with maybe one or two lines and she knocked it out of the park and it turned into, you know, a recurring character for like four episodes and then the show was canceled. So that's Hollywood for you.
Poor Nadia can't get a break.
Because you want the repeats because that's where you get the money.
And like I said, she's on an Atlantis Gay Cruise right now and she's busy. So nobody has to feel sorry for Miss Nadia Ginsberg. So
well, because
she should go online and watch her videos on YouTube.
Well, because she's trying to do a Kickstarter to start her Madonna Logs video series again.
Yeah.
So, and I think that she's actually probably going to get it. But you know what, Jackie? I have faith that the listeners of this podcast will pay for the rest.
Yeah, well.
So if you guys donate, tell them Feast of Fun sent ya.
Well, that's what I was going to say earlier when you guys mentioned it's only been like maybe 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, people... they give a lot in the beginning and then it sort of tapers off and slows down, but it's been about 6 days and I think I'm at 37% of the goal and it can stay up for 4 months.
Wow. Do you have the surgery scheduled yet?
I do.
When are you going to have it done? Do you know?
March 12th.
Oh. And then you'll be up and about like a few days later, right?
Actually, you're up the next day. They force you to walk, but you know, it's very limited and that's part of the problem is, they say to, you know, figure out on, you know, I'm going to have to take about 2 months off.
Can I offer, I know this is a weird thing to suggest. My mother had hips surgery as well. Mm-hmm. And the doctors did not look at her heart because one of the risks of hip surgery is strokes. Make sure that they look at your heart to make sure you don't have little microscopic holes, because in the process of getting a hip surgery, you can get blood clots that could lead to a stroke.
Right. Okay, well, hold on one more second. Okay, there they went. The last listener finally just tuned out. No, I'm kidding. I appreciate that so much, and I'm going to get, I mean,
well, that's a lot of women are born with microscopic holes.
Well, Jackie Beat is part woman.
That's true. You know,
so. Right? And honey, if anyone has a hole in their heart, it's probably this bitch. No, but I'll have it all checked out, all joking aside, I appreciate it.
I just love...
Occasionally, somebody online will be like, good luck with your surgery. I had it you know, years ago. It was the worst pain I ever felt. You're going to, good luck. It's horrible. Seriously, nothing can prepare you for the pain. I'm like, okay.
I don't know. My dad had it done, and he seemed like he was up on a, he was hanging out laundry in the backyard like the day he came home from the hospital.
Wow.
So, I mean,
well, I'm a tough cookie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been, you know, excruciating pain on both sides for years now. And it's, you know me, I don't drink or do drugs. So,
Well, maybe you should start.
Oh, honey, the moment the doctor says it's okay, I'll be popping whatever he tells
me. Heroin. No, not heroin. Morphine. That's just say, doctor, I want some heroin. And it's like, it's morphine. Morphine is what you got.
Jackie, there's sometimes I see online or on your blog, and I believe it was actually in a book, there's a picture of a little boy kissing a statue. And it's often talking about like when you knew you were gay. Is that actually a photo of you as a small child?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. It's the craziest picture. And for the longest time, I was afraid. I remembered it, and I was like, where is that picture? And my sister had it, or she scanned it or something, and now it's all over the internet. I remembered, you know, I was such a screaming queen when I was a little kid. I know this is a shocker, but I was, and my brother and sister would always, you know, like, do this and do that and do that scene from Carol Burnett and impersonate Cher and, you know, and kiss that statue. So it's really me.
Oh, they force you to kiss the statue.
That's a passionate kiss, by the way.
It's adorable. And I think we've all kind of like maybe kissed some, you know, whether it was a Teen Beat poster or a statue.
Right.
But
when you were kissing it, did you imagine like, is this what it would be like to actually kiss my boy one day?
I got to be honest, it was, you know, 312 years ago, so I don't remember exactly what was in my mind.
It was a Roman statue, after all, right?
Yeah, well, first of all, my mom's from Italy, so my dad, when he did our backyard in Scottsdale, Arizona, he did it up, you know, with all these Roman columns and statues, and, it, you know, it was the late 60s, early 70s, so, you know, it was kind of tacky and, you know, beep-bop-boop. But my parents' best friends growing up were a gay couple. They did everything together. So I grew up knowing, you know, that there were gay people, and my parents were so, you know, for a woman who was raised in a convent in Italy and a man who was, you know, very, very, you know, he was in the Navy and just, you know, very straight, but they just, you know, they were intelligent and accepted the biological reality of gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't religious. So
that's a big
factor.
I think
religion, I, you know.
So, like, really. Why are you such a bitch then?
Because that's my shtick.
It's your theme song. It's the theme song. I have to do it.
Maybe when I get my hips done and I'm not in pain anymore, I won't be such a bitch.
But I mean, seriously, like you have a loving family, and yet, like, even like I was watching you a baby Jackie Beat in the movie Wigstock. And you seem kind of like a punk and an outsider, and even in the drag queen scene of New York City.
Yeah, it's weird because I do think back to, it's like my parents' best friends were a gay couple, so I did see gay people, and I did see, you know, they were in a relationship and all that. But for some reason, even still, and I think it's because of pop culture and songs and movies, I didn't see a future for myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, I remember when I was a kid, I figured out how old I was going to be in the year 2000, and it was like, you know, 30-something, and I was like, oh, I'll be dead. I won't even, that's so old. And I don't know, it's very weird, but, you know, it really is a character.
Well, I mean, I was watching, have you seen Wigstock lately on Netflix, or looked back at yourself? Like, because that movie really captures a real magical moment in your life.
Does it?
I think so. Or I don't know what was going on through your head when that.
It's almost 20 years ago now.
Yeah,
that movie. It's
almost 20, and it's like you're just fresh out of college. You're hanging out with Alex Arquette before he transitioned to Alexis, and you're going around like, you know, offering her advice on her drag, and it's a very, you're very sweet to Alexis in her youth.
Yeah. Well, we're still best friends. I mean, you meet a lot of people along the way, and I just remember, you know, I remember the very first time I was at a club and somebody was like, that's Alexis Arquette. And everybody was like, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Last Exit to Brooklyn and Famous and all. And I was just like, I couldn't care less. I mean, I often, unfortunately, I think I go to the extreme. It's like, I don't want to seem like I'm kissing somebody's ass, or, you know, if you're meant to be friends, you'll be friends. And
yeah.
I was just over at her place the other day, and it's one of those lasting friendships. And, you know who your real friends are. And, but
were you
the
surprised?
Thing about New York, you know, everyone told me when I lived in L.A. to, you know, and I kind of did a different kind of drag. It was very, I don't want to say hag drag, but it was just sort of clowny and over the top. And, you know, in wig stock, you know, I wear like combat boots. But living in New York, even though I still think I have my style, it taught me like you can wear heels. You know, you can be glamorous. You can, but still warp it and be funny and, you know. Because when I first went to New York and saw Sherry Vine, I'll never forget it. I said, what happened to you? And she's like, what do you mean? And I said, you used to be the Carol Burnett of drag, and now you just look like some Barbie doll or a porn star. And she got a little upset because I think she went from one extreme to the other. And then she found a happy medium where she could be, you know, glamorous and sexy and look good, but still be retarded. And
well, so we hung out with Sherry Vine last time she was in town. She confided in us, told us not to tell anybody. But the reason that she likes to dress up like real pretty is because she gets a lot of dick.
Oh, well, yes, of course. I mean, that goes without saying.
When Alexis Arquette came out as transgender to you, I've had a lot of drag queen friends, and I've had a lot of transgender friends, but very few who are drag queens who then came out as transgender. And to me, it was a little bit of a surprise because it's like, here's your pretend character is actually the real you.
Yeah. I mean, Alexis, I just feel like Alexis never really, I mean, even though it was glamorous and colorful and, you know, even glam rock and sort of over the top, it really did seem to come from, and even Jackie Beat is obviously a part of me, but I really feel like a gay man. Like, you know, we were talking about Sherry and, you know, there's nothing hotter than some straight guy, but it's very one-sided usually. And as a gay man, it just doesn't work for me. You know what I mean? I'm a gay man. I want to have sex with a man as a man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But with Alexis, you know, I treat it like, well, anyone who tells me they're bisexual, it's real easy to say, oh, yeah, you're actually gay, but you're just, you know, creeping your way out of the closet, or you're really straight and you're just trying to seem more interesting than you really are. At my age, I just, you know, if somebody says they're bisexual, I just, anything you want to call yourself, I accept it.
Right.
That's what you say. So a lot of people, I remember there was this weird backlash, like, oh, she's not transgender, and that's not what the, you know, they're, talk about 50 Shades of Grey. It's like, you know, it's not a black and white world. And
well, it's not,
you know,
and
in
you know,
a way, you could say that I'm transgender in a certain way. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There
absolutely.
Varying degrees.
And I know a guy who says he's bisexual, but what he really means is he can fit two dicks up his ass.
Work. Work is sex.
But, yeah. I mean, people ask me, it's like, why did you choose a female character as your alter ego? And I said, I kind of shock people and stun them. And I said, it's probably because part of my psyche is transgender.
Well, first of all, we're all male and we're all female.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're in the womb, it's like you're, it's not that big of a difference. I love how people are just so, you know.
Well, for me, it's a big difference. It's about 7 or 8 inches.
Right. Well, yeah. On a good day, 9. No, but I always tell people, like, I kind of don't get drag kings because the reason my character is female, and, you know, I've said this in a million interviews that I consider Jackie Beat to be a high concept character like Pee Wee Herman or Elvira, and it just so happens that, you know, the person behind the female character is male, you know, but I also really embrace the term drag queen because the word queen lets everyone know I'm a gay man, so I have no problem with that either. But my point is, God, I really fucking ramble, don't I?
I love
it. The point is that, to me, women in our society and in the world and in pop culture have so many more ways, emotionally and aesthetically and fashionably, to express themselves. It's like with drag kings, usually, mean they put up a wall of machismo. You know, they're either Elvis or a rapper or Sinatra or, you know, a cowboy. It's all about shutting off the emotion and sort of hiding behind that wall. And with a female character, you can express emotions and be more creative, and there's hairstyles and makeup and jewelry and different eras, and you know what I mean? And you can cry and you can scream, you can do everything.
You know, I think what the part of the appeal of drag kings is that it's gay or straight or lesbian. It's really hard to get a hot piece of pussy. And sometimes you just have to do things that are a little bit crazy and elaborate to convince a girl to sleep with you. And even
wow.
And you can be the hottest lesbian and stuff, and if you're chasing after a girl, sometimes just showing her that you can have that Elvis swagger will get her in the sack with you.
You know, I never thought of that, and I really did not expect it to go in this direction. This reminds me of, I was just recently helping Ross Matthews write his new book called Man Up, available for pre-orders on Amazon.com, and there was a whole... There was a whole chapter about him eating pussy, and I was like, I did not sign up for this.
A whole chapter?
Honey.
Ross whole, and a woman?
The whole thing left a bad taste in my mouth. Let's just put it that way. Well, you know, he gave it the old college try.
That's what I say. You just do the alphabet. A, B, C, D, A, alphabet.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Well, it's kind of funny because, you know, some gay guys will not think twice about eating a guy's asshole, you know, but when you tell them, oh, it's like, you know, it's like, stuck my mouth in a girl's vagina and stuff. And they're all like, yeah. What?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
And not just, honey, they'll eat a homeless guy's asshole. But, you know, a woman, a 22-year-old gorgeous knockout woman fresh out of the shower is like, disgusting.
Well, you have some really loving and very sweet testimonials, not just from Margaret Cho, but from Devin and Joel. You make us laugh till our tits are hard. I wish you were Canadian, then you could get both hips done with an infusion of maple syrup. Although you would sound like Anne Murray afterwards. We're sending love and healing positivity to your entire pelvic girdle.
That's so
sweet. I know.
Sweet.
Aren't they amazing? First of all, she's hilarious. This is why I love all the people in my life. They're hilarious and they have heart. And I honestly cannot read all those comments and look at the number and not get teary-eyed. You know, It's ruining my street cred, but it's the truth.
Well, I think too, like arugula romaine stamos, she wrote something on, she also gave, and this is really the matter of the fact here. Gotta support our drag foremothers and fathers. No one realizes how much having health coverage affects our favorite performers until something like this happens. Best of luck for speedy recovery.
See?
Yeah.
This is what I meant about, you know, to the universe, It's just, you know, it's just letting the love in. And sometimes that's really difficult, you know?
Well, that's why Mimi M. First says that, you know, all those girls from RuPaul's Drag Race should unionize for reasons like this.
Yeah, well.
So let's start a drag queen union.
Let's do it.
You can become the president.
Let's do it.
Have you seen that Detox and Jay Jolie's porn star past is being spread around the internet?
No.
So the contestants, Jay Jolie, his better known as Show Guy's Tristan Everhard, and Detoxicant's Cinematic Triumph is the less imaginatively named Sebastian Ford on Blacks on Boys.
Oh, dear God.
It's not the first time a drag queen's
done
that.
The only thing I want to see less than Detox is Detox naked. No, I adore Detox, but I mean, you know, it doesn't shock me anymore. I mean, we've seen Paris Hilton having sex. We've seen, who cares?
It's interesting, though, because it's like, I was, you know, it kind of like, they put so much energy into their costume, into their performance. They put their heart and soul into it. And then they do porn, and it's kind of like, yeah, I just had sex with this homeless black guy.
Yeah, they're phoning it in.
You know, it's like, I still see it as a form of performance, and I'm like kind of going, oh, I wish it, you know, it being as wild as your drag act is, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe this was, you know, before they learned how to turn it out.
Well, I kind of feel like we've been seeing like a rash of gay porn stars die lately. There was one that most recently, Arpad Miklos, died from suicide.
It's so horrible.
Yeah,
and I mean, I can't help it. I imagine. Again, I don't, you know, like, this is not, I have a, it's not really a joke. I just say life is a job you have to quit. You know, life is a job you have to be fired from. You can't just quit. And that way I feel. By the same token, I have no idea what it's like to, you know, really suffer from depression. Who knows if drugs or alcohol is involved. I'm not going to judge anybody, but when I think about, you know, how alone and hopeless somebody must feel to do that, my heart really goes out. I think that, you know, you really have to, I don't know.
Well, there's like, also, too, like,
an eye out for your friends and notice when they're isolating or...
Mm-hmm. And it's a huge concern. A lot of the people like involved in like ACT UP and HIV and AIDS awareness, they're really turning their eye towards just mental health for gay men, because we do often suffer from some kind of depression, even though there's been studies recently that say straight guys are more depressed than we are.
But when we do get depressed, we're much more intense about it. You know, we're more dramatic about it. Maybe
we're much more intense about everything. But
yeah.
Yeah, I remember, you know, my friend Mario, who's, you know, my best friend and in Dirty Sanchez with me, he was talking about there was like some famous gay psychotherapist, and his whole thrust of his practice was, you know, helping gay men deal with getting older. And that was his, you know, area of expertise. And then he ended up killing himself. And the whole note was about how he couldn't handle getting older.
Wow. So. Well, you know, I think there's so much obsession in the gay culture on youth and beauty. But I feel as you get older, that just means there's more younger and more beautiful people for you to fuck.
Hello. You know? And when that's another thing.
When you're 40, a 30's a chicken.
If you're young and beautiful, I got news for you. It, you know, you think it's going to last forever, but I say, you know, I'm glad that I was a chubby little kid, and chubby's being nice. Anyway, but, you know, I grew, you have to have a personality. Mm-hmm. Go read a book, you know, it's like you got to do more, and you can't just, you know, you have to have female friends, you have to have friends that, you know, you don't screw. You have to have people that make you laugh. You know, you need a well-rounded life. It can't be all the fucking white party. And, you know, because then when the party's over, I always say, you know, are you going to stick around once the glamour wears off? Because, you know, eventually the glamour always wears off. Like, life, you know, is beautiful, but...
I don't know. Part of me, though, is also, I feel as though, we're very lucky as men, because as you get older, sometimes you get better. Whereas I think that maybe women have a harder time with that. Although, I don't.
Do you agree?
Well, I honestly feel like, I don't want to say these are like white people problems, but I kind of feel like, you know, I don't know, if you're a gorgeous gay guy, you know, and you've just sort of had everything, I don't want to say had everything handed to you, but you know the type I'm talking about. It's just...
Sure,
you know,
I've been to a circuit party.
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of privilege and a lot of douchebaggery.
Yeah, it's no different than me sitting in my bedroom with my dogs watching TV. If that's a break, you know, if I'm working hard and traveling, and then I get to do that for a couple nights in a row as a treat, that's great. But if you do it for every night for 2 weeks, it's going to drive you crazy. It can't be your whole life. And these queens, it's just all about the Botox and the this and the that and the tanning and the, I don't know. It's just crazy to me.
I think it's actually very entertaining now.
I just wish they could find, you know, you just have to have real relationships. And you're talking to somebody who has not been in a romantic relationship in like a million years, but I have so many amazing friends, and I have, you know, you just have to find love where you can find it.
You just got to put on a dildo and fuck Nadia Ginsburg.
Hello. I mean, I have that penciled in for later today.
And you have your puppies.
Don't fuck those. God. But, you know, a lot of people like,
the loves of my life. Dogs are my favorite thing on the planet. I'm going to get a tattoo that's a list, and it's going to say number one dogs, number two pizza, number three cock, number four is going to be, I love it. I'm obsessed with her, and I can't think of her name now.
Give us a clue.
D. Arthur.
Madonna.
Oh, God.
But, you know, a lot of, like, gay guys, I hear them saying, oh, I wish we had Grindr and Scruff and Boy Ahoy and Jacked in my day when I was young, and then I would have got a lot of dick. But I think about it, and I say, you know, those hookup apps take up a lot of your time. And for some of you guys, you may have not an addiction, but... it may be distracting you from the things that you need to be doing or your calling in life. And I want everybody who's listening to the show to try this just once. It doesn't have to be today. Delete all those apps. And it's like cutting off your arm.
That's really going to happen.
But delete the apps and just try it for a week. You can always come back, you know, and see... if you sleep better, if you get more shit done, just because you're not checking every 5 minutes on your phone, did somebody hot tell me
who
I'm cute?
Who wants to fuck me?
Yeah, take
a break.
Also, I mean, remember when, like, I don't know, if you had a friend who had a lot of one-night stands, they were a slut? It's like now a one-night stand is a commitment. I mean, it's like the door's unlocked, I'm on the bed on all fours, just come over, stick it in, 20 minutes, get out. It's like nobody, there's, you know, nobody dates.
Yeah.
Jackie, nobody, you don't need to talk about your sex.
Jackie,
life on
I almost
the show.
Forgot about that. When you picked up a guy at a bar, a lot of times he'd spend the night.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd go to brunch.
Wow, the good old days.
You know, not always, but sometimes you'd actually talk.
Yeah.
Well, Matt Moore, the ex-gay Christian advocate, conservative blogger, was caught on Grindr looking for dick, and he confessed to it.
But then he said, God will forgive me, and I still don't want to be gay.
Oh, God. You know, listen, there's nothing, I mean, this is like, you know, fucking up with people 101, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with being gay. Being gay is 100% natural. The only unnatural thing is when you fucking hide it, and that's when it becomes, it's like shoving a wet rag under the sink in the dark. It just is going to start stinking. So everyone needs to fucking learn how to accept themselves. And, you know, God needs to be a positive thing, not, you know, there's no hateful, vengeful, judgmental God. I'm so sick of religion right now.
Well, you know, maybe you could join up with people and start singing and... Do you even
up with gay people?
Up with gay. Started up with gay people. We actually have some really great comments and questions and loving messages for you from our
any hateful
Facebook.
Ones.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some there
I
too.
Can make
I don't
want
to hear those.
Yeah, okay. We hate you, fucking bitch. I hope you drop dead.
Michael Verratti asks, I sure wouldn't mind knowing if there are any plans for another Dirty Sanchez album in the near future or any music work in general. Jackie's a fierce performer.
Oh my goodness gracious! Well, first of all, I want to say that my website, my new and improved website, is up, and people can buy my music because for the longest time it hasn't been available. So, if you go to my website, MissJackieBeat.com, there's a store, and you can download CDs. You know, funny songs. And Monday, I'm going to go in and I'm going to record my 20-minute 80s medley. It ends with "I started AIDS down in Africa."
Yay!
Yeah, so that'll be available. But as far as Dirty Sanchez goes, the problem is that, you know, Mario's acting, he's dancing, he's like so busy. So is Barbeau, DJ Barbeau. We're all so busy, and it's really difficult. But we have some new songs, and I think the way to go is we're going to make videos to the songs because, you know, that way a million people can see it. You know, you do it once, and then it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Sure. Yes. Do this.
Robusta Caps.
Wait, hold on a second. It's like, you started AIDS down in Africa is the funniest of all your songs.
Thank you. Well, listen, it sounds out of context.
Right.
People are probably like, oh, shock value. What a, you know, how dare she? But, you know, I always say if a drag queen in her late 40s can't, you know, who... has lived through a lot and seen a lot of her friends. I mean, it's like, listen, if I can't make a joke, who can? And also, that's what joking is for. You joke about the horrible things. I mean, this is, you know,
Yeah, but it's like when I hear, I'm sitting in an audience watching you perform that, and I'm expecting, because there's some really, you have uptight gay fans from those cruise ships, you know? And I'm expecting, and you're always there trying to push the envelope, trying to push their buttons to see if the audience is going to boo you. And every single time, most of the time, they cheer and adore you. Now, one time here in Chicago, you got the audience to turn on you, and they started attacking you, and you were like attacking them back. And it was like, do you remember this?
Was this Berlin?
Not really.
At Berlin, it was kind
of weird. Listen, first of all, people need to know, do not put me on at fucking 2 a.m. to a tweaking crowd. You know, do I look like... Yes. You know, am I doing house music? Am I wearing fucking Christmas lights? No. This is something that needs, you know, you need to pay attention a little bit. So putting me on at 2-3 a.m. to a crowd that, like, you know, is drooling and fucking, you know, cutting themselves.
It's not the right. You deserve a theater.
Yeah.
That's, well, listen, you know, or a cabaret.
I do plenty of gay bars. Yeah. Put me on at 8 or 9 or something. Sure. And, you know.
It was hilarious. It was like sub-degree weather temperatures. We had just taped a podcast, and we took you to there, and they were like, you got to wait 1 more hour to go on. 1 more hour. And you're just like, what the fuck? I'm going on right now. And so you like screamed at the DJ, play my goddamn music. And you got on the stage and started performing, and the bartenders were like, didn't know what was going on. And the audience was just like super high on drugs. It was... chaos.
Well, wow, you really remember that night.
That was my favorite experiences of doing that podcast. Yeah. And people were like, was Jackie like that with you? And I was like, no, she was very, very pleasant and lovey.
Well, see, let me tell you something. I feel like, first of all, I have to pay the sins of every drag queen that people have ever dealt with.
Yeah.
So somebody flies me out and they want me to do a show. And they're like, I'm, you know, what time are you going to pick me up? Or what time do you want me at the club? And they're like, 9 p.m. And I'm like, oh, okay, no problem. What time is the show? You'll go on around 12:30, 1 a.m. And I'm like, well, then why do I have to be there at 9? I flew here to do the show. I'm not, you know, trying to pick up some guy. I'm not doing drugs. I'm not drunk. I'm here to do the show. So why do I have to get to your fucking club and sit in, you know, a disgusting back room or an office or what you think is a dressing room for 3 hours?
Well, it's because let's just be real here. It's like, because some of those girls from RuPaul's Drag Race, if you give them a little leeway, they'll start working the streets right in front of Berlin for a little dollar, you know?
Yeah.
Because don't pay that well. But so you were here in our home studio, and we had this crystal skull puppet, and you were like, and you lost your shit because you were like, I will buy that skull.
I want it.
I want it. Give it to me. I'll name your price. And I was like, look, Jackie, it's not for sale. I'll make you one for you. You know, it's like, and you're like, no, I want that one. And then so the weirdest thing is the next day, it was gone. Somebody broke into the apartment.
It was not.
So we told this story to Nadia and Selena Luna, and within, on the podcast, split second after I said that, they're like, Jackie didn't steal it.
She didn't do it. They both together were just like, these girls have her back.
Oh, see, they know the real me.
It's here. It's still safe.
They know that the only thing I steal is, you know, the spotlight from everybody.
And hearts.
Yeah. Robusta Cap writes, I couldn't give much, but I was happy to donate. She's been an enormous influence. There you go.
Laird James Robert Higgins says, what's your thoughts on equal marriage bill passed in British Parliament?
Hooray. Yeah,
to which I say, go brush your teeth.
Lulu Bellicherio wants to know, what makeup do you love?
Oh, I rarely wear cosmetics, but sometimes I will apply a little lip gloss and mascara for the stage. You know, of course I love MAC, but I don't use MAC base. I still use good old-fashioned pan stick, which you can get online, and Coty loose powder. Because, no, seriously, MAC Factor pan stick is like flesh-colored butter. And if people look at my photos or videos and they're like, oh, you have such good skin, it's like, honey, it's all about that Max Factor pan stick, because it was literally invented to reflect light in, you know, film or you know, photography. So
that's the key.
Your makeup is probably some of the best drag queen makeup I've ever seen.
What? The
yeah,
way
absolutely.
You talk.
No, but I mean seriously, you know that a lot of people like you're known for your unique strong makeup look.
Well, on YouTube there are people doing tutorials of how to do Jackie Beat makeup, mm-hmm. and I'm telling you, I've never even met these people, and they do it completely different than me, but the final product does end up looking a lot like me. So
yeah, and you when
know,
you when
and
you
I know a lot of drag queens who I there's no nice way to say this, but I've seen a lot of drag queens literally just totally mop my makeup, just totally steal the look. So
without a doubt. And when you see the girl, you know it. You're like, that's Jackie Beat.
Well, you're friends yeah. with some of these queens and you see them on RuPaul's Drag Race. One time you posted on Facebook, lip sync for my life. I rather die.
That's true. Listen, I get it. Not everyone's a singer. And Santino is a friend of mine and he has yelled at me. He's like, nobody's claiming this to be, you know, singing drag queen competition. But my point is, if you call yourself a stand-up comedian and you walked into some club and handed them somebody's CD and said, just push play and I'll move my mouth, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here. So it's time to evolve.
Mm. Do you find sometimes that show doesn't allow drag queens to fully express themselves or showcase their talents?
Well, it's a reality show. So yeah. No reality show, you know, first of all, deals with reality. And second of all, you know, they can only lip sync what they get the rights to, and nobody, it's, you know, they have a job to do. It's not about, you know, really, representing you as a performer. I think, you know, Mimi talks about that all the time. It's like, you know, I was in a reality show called Seriously, Dude, I'm Gay.
Yeah.
And it's kind of infamous. You can even look it up on Wikipedia. It was on my TiVo. We lived in an apartment for a week with a straight guy coaching him to pass for gay. And it was actually on my TiVo, you know, ready to be recorded on Fox. And then GLAAD came in and said, oh, this is stereotypical. And they made a big fuss and it got pulled. And I remember signing a contract saying we can, through editing and creative, you know, creative editing, we can totally misrepresent you and do whatever we want. I mean, it literally said that, and you mm-hmm. just sign it because you want to be on TV.
GLAAD are a bunch of tools, though, you know? It's like, they just take out the fun out of everything.
Well, I call them the Nelly Nazis. And I listen, and I
you're
appreciate,
the Führer.
You know, I live in L.A., you live in Chicago, there are people in New York, not everybody lives in these big cities, and I got to be honest, if, you know, less people get beat up with baseball bats, I'm all for it, but it's just, everything is corrupt. It's just, you know, yeah. It's like, just because I say the word faggot, like, I'm immediately like, you know, you will never be considered for a GLAAD award. And it's like, if you're a straight guy and you've got, you know, the courage to play a gay character, my God, this is, here, take a whole truckload of fucking awards.
Well, the best way to prevent from ever getting a GLAAD award is to do a story that exposes them and getting their CEO fired.
<Uh-oh>.
Which is why we'll never get a GLAAD award.
Which we did.
But anyways, you're friends with Santino. Do you find that a lot of drag queens on the forums like say that they hate him, that they think he never gives any constructive criticism. Do you think Santino gets an unfair rap or does he have a bug up his ass?
Well, I mean, I know him personally, and he's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
He's also a designer. So, honey, it's about attention to detail. By the same token, you know, it's all a matter of taste. It's all subjective. It's like, you know, he may think something doesn't work or isn't aesthetically pleasing, but that's only his opinion.
But sometimes he's in the same room when you're putting on your drag. And I'm sure he offers you advice. Do you go, shut the fuck up?
Well, I would say that to, you know, the Pope. I would say that to anybody. No, we're not that close. But,
well, I mean, close enough know, that, so, yeah, that he probably gives you advice.
If he gave me advice on something that, you know, I would listen to him, I would hear him out, and I would, you know, listen, I'm... Even after doing it, you know, close to 25 years, I learn new things every day. I have an open mind, but I also know what works for me. So,
Well, and so sometimes dressing up as a, like a Jewish old lady on a cruise ship is the look. But my favorite look of you is when you're not wearing a wig at all and you look like cancer patient chic.
Work! I'm going to post that and get even more donations.
It's a really gorgeous look
like,
for you.
Well, now I have cancer.
I recently tweeted that like my goal is for people to look at me and go, is she serious? I just love the fact that they don't even know. Like, does she think that looks good?
I think it's a fantastic photo. It really emphasizes the makeup on your face.
Yeah,
well,
it draws attention.
I was pretty fat in that fucking picture, but that was at my friend's wedding. My straight friends, Janona and Senor, got married, and they actually had me marry them, and their parents were furious at first, but when the whole thing was over, they came around and said, oh, it was so beautiful. Aww. And it was great, and I sang a song. It was really fun.
What would you say, a cynical, cunty bitch like yourself, say, who hasn't had a date in 20 years, say to a straight couple getting married?
Oh, well, I say, hey, think of me.
I'm your worst. I mean, seriously, what did you say when you were married? Because, you know, the person who marries them off, the minister or mistress or whatever, has some words of wisdom.
It was all written down. And, you know, me, if you've ever seen me perform, I don't even know the lyrics to my own song. So I certainly don't remember what I told a couple of breeders a few years ago. It was very heartfelt, but with a little, you know, little bit of heightened glamour and camp. And I sang...
You started AIDS down in Africa.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You started AIDS down in Africa, and you were like, oops, wrong sheet music.
Yeah, no, I didn't sing that. Oh, what I wanted to say about that was, you know, out of context, it seems so shocking, but it is the very last song in a 20-minute medley that sort of builds. And it's about, you know, going on a safari in the 80s and thinking that the tour guide was coming into my tent, but it turns out to be a monkey. So anyway, it's really quite brilliant. Okay, it's not quite as...
It's the funniest thing.
Jackie, it absolutely, without a doubt, it works to the nth degree.
It's the funniest thing, and I have a dark, sick sense of humor, so I'm not the person to judge this stuff, but...
Of
all the drag queens, of anybody, anywhere, that is the funniest thing. Every day I go, I started AIDS down in Africa. I'm always singing that song. It'll be on your tombstone.
It's theater of the ridiculous, and anyone who takes it seriously needs help. And my attitude is, like, if you don't like it, then you know what? There are other drag queens that you can watch. It's like, I don't need to hear everyone's opinion about what they think is funny or not. Mm-hmm. Everyone thinks that they, you know, their opinion counts. And it's like, I don't give a flying fuck. If you don't like it...
Yeah, humor's subjective. If you don't like it, you don't like it.
Go fuck yourself.
It's like people go, they freak out because I don't like Lady Gaga. And I'm like, would you freak out if I say I don't like raspberries? It's weird that I don't. I don't like raspberries. I can't tell you why. I just don't like them.
Do you like blackberries?
I love them. Every other berry, I'm not kidding. It's a very specific thing about raspberries.
Do you like black raspberries?
Raspberries. I don't think so.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Do you like people?
Very much so.
So you can edit this and be like, I like black people.
Oh, please do that. If I can't win a GLAAD award, I want to at least win an NAACP award.
Lady Gaga just gave you $25. Oh, no, that's Lola Von Miramar. She's even better than Lady Gaga.
She's in the Tostones video with us.
She's the most famous cooking drag queen on YouTube because of us. Well, Jackie Beat, good luck with raising $50,000.
You're going to do it.
You're going to get it.
Thank you so much. Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've made some jokes, and I just want to say that I know that my character can be a bitch and bitchy, but deep down inside, the only reason I do this is to make people laugh. Honestly, and it sounds stupid and corny, and I probably shouldn't, like, you know, say it, but the only reason I do it is to make people laugh. So it really gets me when people are like, you know, you're such a hateful, horrible fucking person. And it's like, oh, sorry.
I hope you drop dead.
I also want to leave one more comment that somebody wrote. Andy Dixon wrote, he gave you some money. I've never had the pleasure of seeing a live show, but your songs, videos, blogs, and unique beauty and style have given me a lot of laughs and pleasures. I'm a huge fan of the art of drag.
So, oh, my God. See? Yeah. And it's all worth it.
It is.
My favorite comment is Brad Fiorito, who gave you $20 and says, don't use it for Cheetos, honey.
That was my favorite, too. I posted that. I said, so far, he wins.
Without a doubt.
You are a winner, and certainly we know that all your sick, twisted, demented humor is makes the world a better place. And we
thank you, honey.
Salute you for it.
Thank you.
You fucking bitch.
You cunt.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you guys so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. And
best
to all your listeners, I love you. Now go fuck yourself.
Yeah, because we're not friends, right?
No.
But we could be.
We could be one day.
One day.
I'll help you with it. If you need someone
to a real city.
Yeah. If you need any help putting on your makeup, I'd be happy to assist you.
What's the real estate like by you?
With a trowel? You work better with the roller or the trowel?
I use a hair.
We'll just use a cement truck and just pour it over.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Goodbye, darling. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye. Aww. Jackie Beat lives in Los Angeles, California.
Highland Park. Mm-hmm. You can go stalker.
I'm sure if you wrote to her and said, I want to like go to your house and bring you like a casserole.
She might. Actually, her house has been featured many times because she's a collector of all sorts of knickknacks and bric-a-bracs and unusual art. And so she's had some features done in like the LA Times. And I think you can actually see pictures of her home online. And it's interesting. If we ever go out to LA, hopefully she'll say, come on by and I'll give you a tour of the place and you can pet my puppies.
No, she'll be like, I'll meet you in front of the house. You can't come in. I haven't cleaned it.
I bet she cleans.
She does. She has her maid is Selena Luna.
Her mom's Italian. She knows she's got to keep a clean house.
No, Selena Luna
is the maid.
She does it for free. It's part of her sexual fetish.
She puts on a little French maid outfit and brushes.
Jackie, do you want me to clean the toilets again? It's fine. It's clean. It's already. Oh, go ahead and take a shit. Lick it up. Jackie Beat. You can donate money to her. giveforward.com/JackieBeat.
Is it hip hip or just one hip?
It's two hips.
It's two hips.
Like when you're reading it, your eyes does that trick.
You only see one. So there it is.
Fully spelled out. Jackie Beat. Mm-hmm. Hip hip hooray. And help her. Don't be so stingy as Margaret Cho giving $1,000.
Support your favorite drag queens and support this show. You can visit feastoffun.com/plus and sign up because we do 5 shows a week and you can get them all into your iPhone, on your computer, and listen to us daily.
Because ain't nobody doing in-depth interviews about all the RuPaul's Drag Race drag queens other than us. Because nobody gives... It's like, where's the PBS special on the RuPaul's Drag Race drag queens? Where's the PBS special on Jackie Beat or the NPR? Ain't happening, honey. This is it.
Mm-hmm. And we can't do the show without your support.
We do not have Rockefeller, MacArthur Foundation money. We got you. And without you, we are nothing. We can't do this show without your financial support. So go to feastoffun.com/plus and upgrade your Feast of Fun account so you get a podcast 5 days a week. You get this sick, twisted, irreverent, disgusting, delicious, fierce humor into your computer, into your iPod or iPhone 5 days a week. Why aren't you doing it now?
Now.
And that is all we have for you today. We thank you so much for listening and thank you for supporting us and Jackie Beat. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.